Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's go to him now. Lord, ask you to help now. Speak to us. Lord, help us to look at our motives sometimes and why we do things. And Lord, just with a sincere heart, that we would seek to just glorify you in what we do. Thank you for this time, this place to gather. Lord, thank you, the time of the season, getting to it's Christmas time, and we're celebrating your birth, that you came here to die for our sins, to pay our sin debt, and give us eternal life. Lord, thank you and praise you for that. I pray you would fill me with your Spirit, and those that are listening, fill them with your Spirit. And God, help us to be disciples, to follow you. Teach us how to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now remember, as we're going through this, it's called the Sermon on the Mount because chapters 5, 6, and 7 really are one sermon. It's one message that Jesus is giving to the people. So he's just continuing on right here. And now he gives this warning. He said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men." He says, there's a warning. Watch out. You better be careful here when you give your alms. Now, how many of us know what alms are? It's like, we don't use that word anymore, right? Alms. It's really what it's talking about is giving to the poor, to the needy, when you do that. And he was saying, hey, don't be careful. Take heed when you do your alms before men, that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. They go and they blow a trumpet. I mean, think about that. This is what people were doing in Jesus' day. I mean, they're like, I'm about to help this homeless guy or whatever, and then a trumpet going, bum, ba, da, bum, you know, oh, I'm giving my money to this guy, look at me. I mean, that's what was happening right there. I mean, they were making a big old show about it to help somebody. And Jesus said they were hypocrites about it. He warned us, don't be like that. God's giving a serious warning. He says, take heed, and he warns about doing things to be seen of men and receive praise from them. Now, I don't know anybody that doesn't like being praised. I mean, I don't. And sometimes it's needed to encourage people, to help them. Everybody likes praise. We have to watch our motives and when we do things, when we're serving God especially, we need to watch our motives, that we're not doing it to be seen of men. That's the warning that's given. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. So Jesus warns us against doing things so that we can receive praise from men. Facebook, Instagram are all ways today that we have to take heed because it makes it very easy for our service for the Lord or anything we do to be put out for all to see. I mean, it's amazing just the vanity that's in our society now because of things like Facebook and Instagram that I don't even know that people even realize that they're doing it, that it's how infatuated with themselves they are. I mean, the names themselves should like really give it away. Facebook. I mean, it's about my face. I mean, you put your profile picture. I mean, people put all sorts of stuff, but, you know, start off your profile picture, which I get it. I'm not against it. I'm on Facebook. But I'm just saying the premise behind it is it's all about me. I remember, to me, this all started with, maybe there was something before this, but all I remember it starting with MySpace. Who remembers MySpace? Yeah, that's where it started. Anybody else got something before that, really? Not really. I think that was like the first one, right? And what's it all about? It's MySpace. You can know about me. And then Facebook like took over. MySpace is gone. But anyway, We have to be careful with that stuff. I've seen just some crazy stuff. People just bragging on themselves how great they are, how amazing they are. Anybody else seen stuff like that? Yeah, I mean, every one of us is like, oh yeah, I've seen all that stuff. I mean, I'm talking about even Christians in ministry bragging on things that they've done and things that they do. So this is something we have to watch out. We have to take heed to this. This wasn't something that just fits in you know, Jesus' day. This book is timeless. That means this stuff applies to every generation. So there's still vanity out there. There's still pride within all of us. And we have to watch these things. That's why he's saying, take heed. He's talking to his disciples here in this Sermon on the Mount. That's who he's talking to, those that are following him. And he warns them. He says, hey, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Don't do these things. Don't serve me. Or don't act like you're doing something great just so you can be seen of men and have praise of men. Don't do it for that. Don't be like these hypocrites. As disciples, our giving and our prayer life should be done in secret before God and not like the religious hypocrites that want praise of men. I mean, they're all over the place, the religious hypocrites. They're just, look at me, look what I did. Look at the great thing that I did. Look at how good I am. I did this good deed. I know someone that, you know, they helped homeless people and they put it on the internet and just brag about it like, you know, why, you didn't need to tell anybody that. But they're just looking for, you know, pat on the back. But you didn't need to tell anyone that. Just do that good deed and praise the Lord. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's all you need to do. So we have to ask ourselves, what are our motives in why we do what we do and why we're doing it? Are we doing it so we can have praise of men or because we want to glorify God? It's always good for us to stop and ask ourselves what our motives are for serving God. It's easy to get sidetracked. We can start off with pure motives, but then the attention we receive draws us toward the praise of others. We start off, I just want to serve God. I want to do this because it's the right thing to do. And then people are like, hey, good job. And who doesn't like that? You're like, oh, yeah, feels pretty good. And you do it again. They're like, oh, you're great. And you're like, I know. You know, I mean, it just turns into just, you know, you get sidetracked. You started off right, but then, you know, it draws you away towards that praise. Some start off rejoicing for the opportunity to sing a special, but then they get used to it and they expect to get to sing and they expect the compliments and things like that. You know, that's something you just have to watch out for when you do something and you serve people, you serve the Lord and things like that, and someone compliments you. It's always hard to take it. I don't ever know how to take it. I usually just say, praise the Lord, you know, because I don't want to think like I'm anything great or anything like that, because, man, I've given some just dive bombs here before I preached, you know. So it's not that they're all like excellent sermons or anything like that. I know I'm good enough to know that. But, you know, when someone says, hey, that was a great sermon, I just praise the Lord is what I try and say. Thank God. I'm glad God used me. That's it, because it's hard to take that stuff. You don't know how to take it. You know, it can get to your head and you don't want to do that. But all of us have to watch out for that. The Lord uses this example here of giving your alms and praying, of quiet, humble service to Him. That's what should characterize us. We serve God because we love Him, and it's just quiet and humble. And we're not doing it to be seen of others. We're not doing it for other people to notice us. We're doing it because we love God. And if anything, hopefully it'll encourage others. So as you're giving, is it to please God or to be seen of men? Ask yourself that. The giving that you do in any context, is it to please God or to be seen of men? So others are like, wow, look at them. You know, I don't get that from anybody in this church. I don't. Most of the people I know here that have come through here that have given don't want anybody to know. They don't. And if I've mentioned someone who's given something, that was me just wanting to praise them and them not saying, well, you need to mention that. No one's done that ever. No one's ever done that. But I did that because I wanted to recognize them and what they did. So is your giving to please God or to be seen of men? God is clear with us that our motive matters, why we're doing it. Look, he says right there, if you don't take heed. So he says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He says, your motive matters. You're not going to have a reward of your Father in heaven if you have the wrong motive. Why are you doing it? Motive matters to God. The reason why we're doing it matters. The manner in which we perform acts of charity directly affects the way God rewards us. He says, otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. As disciples, we shouldn't make a big show of our generosity like religious hypocrites do. That's what the religious hypocrites do. They make a big show of it. They do it out of pride and the desire for more attention. They do it to be seen of men. As I said before, over in verse 2, it says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, so he's saying, hey, don't do it to be seen of men. So when you do your alms, when you do your giving, you are charitable to the needy. Don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. I mean, they started off in the synagogues and take it into the streets. That I'm about to give to this poor, needy person. Everybody follow me. And I mean, you hear a trumpet blast going off. I mean, if you heard someone just blasting a trumpet downtown Albuquerque, everyone's going to be like, what? You know, if you're walking down there, you're going to be like, what's that? What's going on over there? I mean, you're going to start looking, right? Trying to check out what's going on. Well, that's what they do. Coming out of the synagogue, walking down the street to go help someone. Oh, let me go bless you poor, unfortunate people, throwing money at them or whatever it is. I don't know, however they were helping them. But Jesus said, this is what was going on in that day. And he says it was these hypocrites. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do. Hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? I'm told it comes, I think it's an actor, there we go. From, I don't know what the guy's name, Hippocrates. He's an actor though. It's fake. I mean, actors, that's not really who they are. I mean, a good actor will make you think that's who they are. Right? But that's not really who they are. So, I mean, people, you know, actors or actresses mess up and they do something horrible and you're like, I can't believe they would do that. Why? Because you thought they were the person they were on TV. And that's not who they were. It's fake. See, an actor is a fraud, and that's where the word hypocrite comes from. It's to act. You're just playing a part. That's not really who I am. I'm just playing that part. So when you're like acting in a play or something, that's exactly, you should be like that. You should be a fake, okay, if you want to put it like that, because that's not really who you are. But now in real life, when it comes to that, and you're always putting up this front, all that, you know, man, I like that. I just the society that we live in and how fake it is and how false it is so much. It's like there's a veneer on everything that we do today and nothing can be real. Nobody's real. I mean, we just got through praying for some coworkers, their families and things that are going on. One's about to get a divorce. You know, the other one's father just died. I mean, this is real life. This is what people deal with right here. That's where reality's at. That's where people are at. But so many of us put up a veneer and nothing's helped to do that more than the internet. And even before Facebook and stuff like that, you had chat rooms and things like that, and people can be whatever they want on those. I mean, some of you have maybe seen that meme, the meme, right? No, I'm just kidding. But the meme where, you know, it says, man, if only your real life were as good as your Facebook life. Sorry, I didn't even intend to do that. That just worked out good, didn't it? But as your Facebook life, because people put it like they have the greatest life ever on Facebook. I mean, you know, they'll take a picture, oh, just us and the family out eating, ding, you know, and they're all there. And they didn't, you know, you didn't know that like 30 seconds after that picture was taken, they were chewing the kids out or something like that, or who knows what, you know what I mean? Or they all went back to their phones and just ignore each other. You know what I mean? You didn't see that after the picture, but it looks like, man, if I wish I had a life like that. I'm like, so do they. They don't even have a life like that. I mean, it's just fake. There's so much falsehood out there. So much of a veneer, it's not real. It's like, you know, this is real wood right here, but, you know, I don't know what has a veneer around here. Something's got to have a veneer around here, but nothing does, I guess. We're not a fake church, amen? No, I'm just kidding. All right, but you know what's that like? You get something at Walmart, you know, you ever get an entertainment center at Walmart? You know what's that? It looks like wood, but it's not. It peels off, and you accidentally walk by and kick it, and then the whole, like, thing comes off, and you're like, oh, this piece of junk. You know, that's a veneer. It's false. It's not the real thing. And that's so much of people's lives today is just a veneer, and it's fake, and it's not real. And people have gotten real good at that, at living a lie. And what God's saying is, I don't want you living like that. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't sound a trumpet. Don't want attention from everyone. Look, Christians, it shouldn't be about us. What is it? John 11:30, I think it is. If I'm not mistaken. I could quote it to you. I just don't know if I know the reference. That's not it. 8:30. Hopefully that's it. No, I don't know where it's at. It's in John. He must increase, I must decrease. 10:30 maybe. Is it 10:30? It's 30-something. 10:30 maybe. Somebody help me out. I'm drowning up here. No. He must increase, I must decrease. See, that should be us. It's not about us. As Christians, as disciples. It wasn't even about the Lord when he came here. It wasn't about him. He didn't make it that he was the greatest thing ever, although he was. And he could have. He didn't make it like that, though. He said, I came to be a servant. I came to serve. Now, if our master came to serve, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we? So should we think it lowly then if we're like cleaning toilets? If we're picking up trash out here in the parking lot? You know, if we're vacuuming up a mess or whatever it is? I mean, if, you know, someone comes and, you know, gets sick or something and one of us has to clean it up, I mean, I'll do it. I have no problem doing it. Well, I have a problem. I don't want to, but, you know, I mean, I will do it. You know, I mean, we should just be willing to be servants and whatever's needed. And thank God that we even get to be his servant. I mean, what a gift that is. That's the attitude we should have, that he must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about me. And that's what God wants. He says, it's not all about you. Don't think it's all about you. Let it be about the Lord. Don't make a big show of your generosity like the religious hypocrites. Don't call attention to yourself. You know, it says that ladies are to be meek and quiet, have a meek and quiet spirit. But I say, yes, as ladies, you need to have that meek and quiet spirit. But even men, Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. As Christians, we should be that too. It's not just for the ladies. And there comes a time when men need to stand up and be men and, you know, lift up your voice like a trumpet and cry aloud and spare not. But we also should be known as being gracious and being kind. All of us need that. Not always drawing attention to ourselves. But these religious hypocrites do it out of pride and the desire for more attention. Maybe from insecurities or something. They feel like they need the praise of men. But look, a lot of this can be done away with when we get into the next part of this message that Jesus gave and getting into your prayer closet. Getting alone with God. That's something that we all could work on. I know I can. Spending time with God. More than just 15 minutes. Hour. 2 hours. We need that. To be close to him. Talk to him. So he can talk to us. Speak to us. Teach us. We need that. Jesus goes on to say, don't be like them. Don't sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. So they're going to have the glory of men. Men will say, oh, look at them. Wow, can you believe what they did? And then he goes on to say, verily. Who knows what verily means? Brother Josh, Brother Damian, what do you guys got? Truly, truthfully, yeah. Truly, truly. When he says, verily, verily, he's like, truly, truly. The true statement is what he's saying. Truly, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. What's their reward? What is their reward? The context of it. He says that they may have glory of men. He says, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Their reward for their giving, he says, it's not. I mean, what a downgrade. Look at the downgrade this is right here. He says, otherwise, in verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. So if you do it just to be seen of men, he says, you're missing out on something. He says, but if you don't do it for that reason, he says, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So he says, if you're doing it to be seen of men, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So look at the downgrade they're going to. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They want to do it to be seen of men and to have the glory of men. They have their reward. So what's their reward? It's the praise of men. The glory of men, that's their reward. He says, they've got their reward. What a downgrade. Think about that. Our Father in heaven wants to reward us. And they say, I don't want that. I want your applause. Go ahead. Come on. You know, louder, louder, louder. You know, sports have just helped to hype this up. And, you know, just, you know, it's all about me. You know, and they'll be going like that. Yeah, yeah, come on, come on, come on. As they come out or whatever, they score a touchdown, whatever it is they may do. And it's all about them. You know, look at me, look at me. That's not what God says. They've got their reward. You've got your reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Their reward's found in the praise of man. And God is far from this type of generosity, okay, that they're giving to be seen of men. God's far from that. Proverbs 21:27 says, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? The sacrifice, the giving of the wicked is an abomination to God. God says, that's an abomination to me. When you sacrifice like that. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. That'd be a good study for you to do. What's an abomination in the Bible? Go through and read it. It's some pretty nasty sins. I do feel that it needs to be said that there's nothing wrong with someone seeing you give to the needy. There's nothing wrong with that at all. What is condemned, though, is doing it with the purpose of being seen of men. If someone sees you, there's nothing wrong with that. Here's what he says in verse 1, excuse me. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. There's nothing wrong if people see you being charitable or generous. There's nothing at all wrong with that. What's wrong is your motive in it, if you're doing it to be seen of men. If you're like, here, you know, I'm going to help this homeless guy with somebody looking. Now they're looking here. Here you go, sir. You know, so... You know, that's what's wrong when you're doing it to be seen of men. A disciple gives from the right motive, and if others do see, it's so that God may be glorified. Those disciples, we should give just because we want to help that person, be a blessing to them, not so we can be seen of men. But if men do see, then it's so that God would be glorified. We're in Matthew 6, go to Matthew 5:16, says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there's nothing wrong. God says, actually, hey, it's a good thing if they see your good works. Why? Because it'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's a good thing right there. So it's not bad that we need to walk around in like hiding so no one sees us giving. I mean, we don't need to be like, you know, like, you know, we don't need to do anything like that. I mean, so no one sees. That's not what it's saying. It's saying don't do it with the wrong motive. Do it just because you love them. Because you want to help them. Because you love God. Because you want God glorified. I mean, give them a track when you do it. Amen? Our light shining before men so they can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The manner in which deeds of righteousness and charity are to be performed is taken from the biblical illustrator. First, with modesty. So when we do our deeds of righteousness, our charity, when we, you know, give our alms, give to the needy, do it with modesty, with a cheerful respect to the divine precepts, we must aim at the advancement of the honor of God so that God would be glorified in everything. We're to act from Christian compassion and fellowship. And we must depend on divine assistance and ascribe the praise of all to Him who enables us to live to His glory, that in all things He might be glorified. That's why we do it. Not to have the praise of men. Not to have that. As disciples, our motivation for giving to the poor is to please the Father. Look at verses 3 and 4 there, Matthew chapter 6 says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Our motivation for giving is to please the Father. That's why we do it. Your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. It's not so we can have praise of others or anything like that, but it's so God would be pleased. That's why we do it. when you give to help out the poor, do it in a way that nobody knows about it. And if someone sees you, so be it. But that's what he says right there. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Do it so no one knows. I mean, it doesn't mean you need to go at night in secret and dark or anything like that, but don't like broadcast it to the world. Just go do it because you want to. That's what it means. I mean, I worked with a guy. He wasn't a saved man. I mean, he was not a saved man. But the place we were working at, I didn't even know about this. He just told me about it. I had left work early that day, I guess, or something. And this homeless guy, it was probably November or something. It was colder. And this homeless guy was just there around where we worked at. And this guy started talking to him. And he was like, well, what are you doing around here? What are you doing there? And he was down around by the dumpster. He's like, you know, I'm just looking for some clothes or something. And that guy was like, oh, okay. And, you know, he just talked to him. And then the next day he came with just a bag load of clothes and he just stuck them there. I guess he told that guy that he's like, here, come back tomorrow. I'll have some clothes here for you. And he just dumped a bag of clothes there. And I happened to see him. I was like, what are you doing? You know, because I just saw him walking with like a black trash bag. He's like, oh, I just told this guy yesterday I'd throw some clothes there for him. So he threw those clothes there for him and that guy came and picked him up. He didn't tell anybody that. He wasn't even saved. But he just wanted to help that guy. See, that's what it means right there. So nobody knows. If someone catches you or sees you, then they see you. I remember that was probably 12 years ago. And I still remember him doing that. That's what it's talking about right there. That's how we're to give. See, we do it in secret, it says. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And get this, and thy Father which seeth in secret. We can't hide anything from God. We can't hide our motives. But our Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. See, everyone's going to know because God rewards you openly. How's that going to be? I don't know. But God will bless you and he'll do it openly. That's what Jesus said. There's a ton of ways he could reward you. But it'll be open for everybody to see. God will bless you somehow. You know, the greatest blessing I could think of in my life is that, as John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's the greatest reward I could have in my life. I could die a happy man if my children know the Lord and are walking in truth. That, I'll be happy to die like that. Reward thee openly. That's one way he could reward us. He could reward you financially. I mean, God's blessed us financially at times when we didn't have money and we needed a bill paid or something. God took care of it, rewarded us. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, he, you know, sent us to, you know, the church that we came out of. We weren't going anywhere. We were saved, but we stopped going to the church we were going to. God got us out of that, and he put us in a church where we could get grounded, and we can grow, and we could learn. Rewarding thee openly. I mean, those are ways we like, well, I don't think of that. I was thinking I was going to win the lottery. Now your heart's so wicked, you wouldn't get that anyway because you're selfish if that's what you're thinking. Our prayer life should be something that is personal and private before God. We come from this thing of giving. How should we give? And it comes with having the right motive. And this will all be stem from the right prayer life. Verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. See, he's hitting on this thing of our giving, our prayer life. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Again, the hypocrites. There's these actors, these fake people. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. What is it again? Look at me. It's all about me. Look at me. I mean, I just had my neighbor was telling me last week, I think it was last week or the week before, he was telling me about some man, I don't know who he was or anything like that, but he was big in the church group that he goes to, whatever denomination it is, I don't even know what it is. But he was saying, you didn't hear about it? And I was like, no, I didn't hear about it. But he said, look, this man just got caught. I think he's, oh man, I want to say he's like 40, 35, 40 years old. And he was having an affair with this girl from the time she was 16 years old for the past, I want to say, how old was he? I want to say it was 15 years. For the past 15 years, he was having an affair with her. From age 16 until now, she's like 31. And he got caught and it all came out. Trying to do things in secret. Didn't get away with it. Didn't get away with it. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. See, that's a hypocrite. How many times, I don't know the man. I don't even know who he was. He just mentioned him to me. But did he get up and preach sermons and tell people how to live right and how to do this right and how to do that? And he was a hypocrite. Look, Jesus is warning about this because it's real. It's something that Christians face. Anybody in here perfect? Anybody in here messed up? Yeah, well, he says, take heed. Take heed. Watch yourself. Why? Because he knows our hearts. He knows it. He says, watch out, be careful. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. When you give your alms, don't be like the hypocrites. Why? Because they're out there. He says, and you're prone to be just like them. You're prone to be just like them. See, we have to watch ourselves. That's why we constantly have to check ourselves and be like, where am I at, Lord? Lord, help me. And I remember when I was going through my training to come and start this church, one thing Brother Lenentine taught us, he said, you have to preach above where you're at. What do you mean by that? You have to preach above where you're at. Because if I just preached where I was at, there's all kinds of stuff in here I couldn't preach because I don't have it all figured out. I'd have to leave off a lot of stuff. I mean, I've told you guys lots of times, I said, I was preaching this to myself, you know, when I was studying this before you guys ever got it. Why? Because I have to work on it. I mean, I've made statements up here where I'm like, ah, that one hit me. Because I need it just the same. So you have to preach above where you're at. So we're all prone to be a hypocrite, you could say. But I'm telling you, there's a difference between a hypocrite and someone that's striving to follow God. A hypocrite just wants to be false and fake and they know it. Okay, now, just messing up and being, I'm not making excuses for Christians or anything like that, for us to be in sin or anything like that. But I'm just saying, look, if you mess up and you're like, God, I messed up again, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That's not being a hypocrite. Okay, that's being a real person trying to walk with the Lord and trying to serve the Lord. A hypocrite saying, I'm going to do this anyway, who cares? You know, and then act like you don't. Like having an affair with a girl for 15 years and acting like that's okay, like you're not, and preaching against it. I guarantee he did. Adultery is wrong, that's wicked, and all these other things, you know? But he was out doing that. As we get into this, our prayer life needs to be something that's personal and private before God. It's not to say there aren't times for public prayer. That's not what he's saying there. There's lots of examples you can see in the Bible when there was public prayer. But he's saying, look, when it gets down to an individual level, when thou prayest, he says, here's what I want you to do. Don't be like the hypocrites are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. See, that's it. I want people to see me. I want people to notice me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at how great I am. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Again, what's their reward then? The praise of men. The praise of men, that the men see them. And they're like, wow, look at him. Man, he prays so great. Man, you see that? Look, he's so holy. I mean, that's what we look at the Catholic Church and all the stuff that they wear, everything that they wear, and you walk into their church buildings and they're beautiful and magnificent. I mean, I've been to St. Peter's Basilica. That place is amazing. Remember they had big old plates in the ground like this big, I don't know, 2 feet by 2 feet, and big old vents in it, and we're like, what's that for? They're like, oh, that's so they can get air on the bottom levels below it. And they wouldn't even tell us how deep it goes. But that thing goes way down there, and they're like all over the whole St. Peter's Basilica. They've got these big old vents, holes, just so they can get oxygen down there, so they can get air down there. And I mean, we walk through it, and at first you're just like, wow, you walk into rooms like this size, bigger, and they're just filled with what I'd imagine priceless artifacts. I mean, just, and a lot of it just stolen during the Dark Ages. I mean, taken from rich people that they, you know, just the Inquisition just threw an accusation was made against them, and they confiscated everything they had and took it all. But I mean, just gold, I mean, pictures, just everything. I mean, and at first you're just like, wow, you're looking at all this stuff and you're just amazed by it. And then after a while, you're just like walking through room and room with the same stuff. And you're just, after a while, you're just like, cool. Oh, yeah. Because I mean, it's like so much of it. I mean, building after building after building after building. I mean, you get in there, they've got, it's disgusting. They've got, you know, old popes who are just entombed there in clear plastic tombs that you can see them from like 1,000 years ago. I mean, 500 years ago. And you're like, why would you even want to do that? Well, because they worship that stuff. But I mean, some of the people would walk in there and they're putting money in the donation box. And I'm just like, oh, man, why are you doing that? I mean, you could say, well, why'd you buy a ticket there? Because I wanted to see it. Amen. I mean, I wanted to see that place. And they talked about it, you know, what all that money goes to and everything. And just you know, during that time right there, you've got, what did we just have back on October, what was it, 31st there, when Martin Luther put his 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg. You know, they call it Reformation Day. Part of those 95 theses were against the indulgences. And those indulgences that he was protesting against were used to pay for St. Peter's Basilica. I mean, here, you want to go sin this weekend? Give us this much. Here you go. You're covered. That's indulgences. But I mean, you get there and you see all this stuff and it's just amazing. And you drive around Rome and I mean, there's just amazing buildings after amazing buildings. I mean, we went into so many Catholic church buildings that were just like magnificent. I mean, you walk in there and you look at the priests, and anytime you see the Pope, he's always got all this stuff on, and people, oh, the Holy Father. He's not the Holy Father. Man. Amen. That's right. He's not the Holy Father. He's the unholy, you know. Anyway, all right. Try and get off of that thing. I'm not happy with the Catholic Church or the Pope. I think he's the Antichrist. He's not the Antichrist, but he's Antichrist. All right, anyway, moving on. I got it out of me. Okay. But people look at that and they see that and they think, oh, how holy and how special and how reverent it is when they walk into, you know, a church building, a Catholic church building. You know, people have even said, oh, you know, someone will say something like, smack them. No, you can't talk like that. We're in church. Well, because they just misunderstand the whole thing of the meaning of what it is anyway. But why? Because it looks the part. It looks good. And that's how these people are. They're religious hypocrites. They look good. They look holy. They look special. They look set apart, but they're frauds. They're fakes. Do some research into the popes, the history of the popes. They were some wicked devils, I'm telling you. I mean, running a brothel out of the, you know, they didn't have St. Peter's Basilica at the time, but out of Pope headquarters. You know what a brothel is? It's a whorehouse. The Pope's doing that. Illegitimate children after illegitimate children. And I'm telling you, they're in the list of the Catholic Church's official list of popes that came all the way down, that, you know, the Vicar of Christ, their Christ on earth, His Holiness. Do some research into them. You look into it yourself at how wicked some of these guys were, but they're seen as holy. It's actors, they're fake. This is what Jesus is warning about. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. These people seek out a place of prominence. This is the hypocrisy that Jesus was rebuking. People still do it today. They want a title, but not serve God in the church. I mean, I'm talking even churches like ours. They'll want a title. They'll want something. Let me be something. But they just want the title. They're not willing to clean a toilet. You clean a toilet first. If you're willing to clean a toilet, then maybe we can talk about a title, your official toilet cleaner. If you want a title that bad, you know, just be okay without a title. They'll brag how they love serving God to new people, but complain about it to the old people. You're like, what? People do that in church? If you just stick around long enough, sadly, you'll see it. All right? You know, a new person comes in, they're like, oh, I just love serving God. I get to be in this ministry and that. And then the old people, they're like, oh, I can't stand these kids. They drive me crazy. Rah, rah, rah. You know, I'm telling you, hypocrites. Men will desire an opportunity to teach and preach in front of others, but not prepare in the toil of study. Because you can't deny that this is a place of prominence. I mean, obviously, I'm speaking before all of you. It is in any pulpit. And men want that. They want to stand back there and they want to be seen, oh, you know, I'm a pastor.
I'm something special.
I've got that title. But they won't prepare in the toil and study. I want Bible knowledge. I want to be able to know things about the Bible. Then you better get in that book. You better read that book through and through. And after you've read it, read it again. And after you've read it, read it again and study it and get in there and dig things out and figure out why you believe what you believe. You better get in there if you want to be able to answer people's questions. If someone wants to stand here and be a preacher one day, you have to know this. You have to know this book so you can have answers for them. That's why one of the requirements for a pastor is that he's not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You can't be a novice, a rookie. Why? Because pride is so susceptible to anybody. Everybody, every preacher I know has to fight pride. Every preacher I know has to fight pride. Every one of them. I haven't run into one yet that hasn't had to when I get down to it and we start talking. I haven't asked every preacher I've ever run into, but every preacher I've talked to about it. All of us. That's why it's given you in 1 Timothy 3. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Because God knows what's in our hearts. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch that. So if we want the opportunity to teach the Word of God, then we need to be willing to toil and do the work for it. You know, sometimes they say you gotta, you know, do the grunt work. You gotta earn your way up to it. You know what it means when you look in the Bible and you see, for example, let's go to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find where I'm looking for right here because I didn't plan on talking about this. Give me just a second here. All right, well, I'm not finding it, so that's great, isn't it? Okay, normally I find it. Anyway, I can tell you what I'm looking for. When you got Mark, John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, he's there with Barnabas and Saul to be Paul the Apostle, and he's there following them, and it says he's their minister. Do you know what that means? It meant he was their servant, their attendant. That means what they needed, he went and fetched it. Same thing with Timothy. When you see Timothy and Titus and these guys following the Apostle Paul, yes, they were there ministering with him, serving with him, but they were also his attendants, his servants, to get him what he needed. I mean, many times you see in Paul's epistles that he's writing, he says, you know, he'll list off some people that were there with him and he'll list one of their names. And it means many times he wasn't the one actually writing the letter. He was telling it to them. He was dictating it to them and they were writing it down. Why? Because they did whatever he needed. They were his servants. But man, God sure did use them after that greatly, didn't they? So we want a position of prominence. Look, if that's your motive, then God's not going to give it to you. For the most part. Sometimes he will so you can crash and burn. But for the most part, he's not going to do it. He won't if that's what you want it for. See, you got to earn your stripes, so to speak. And that's what many of these men in the Bible did. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Be faithful in that which is least. He's faithful also in much. So be faithful in the little things. Be willing to be a servant. Be willing to serve, and then you'll come up, and then you'll learn, and you can learn at the feet of that man of God like they did with Paul and other men like that, like Elisha following Elijah around. And like Elisha also had a man following him around that ended up messing up. But they had somebody there with them to serve them and to minister for them, to get the things that they needed. I mean, that's what a minister means. It means a servant. That's not a term we like today, a servant. Many times they'll call a pastor, a preacher, he's a minister. That's a nice way of saying a servant. Anybody have a servant at home? No, we don't live like that today in our society, do we? We don't have servants. Some of you are like, I'm the servant at home. You know? Amen. We don't really live like that anymore where it's just like, hey, come here. We don't do that. I mean, but you look back in like Abraham's day and stuff. And he, you know, he just, man, they talk by the turn of the hand. If guests came in these Oriental societies back then, a guest would come, and you see like the Lord comes to visit Abraham in the tent. And he just, with the way he moved his hand, he could be talking with him, and he could just go like that, and his servants would know, go get something ready. Why? Because they're waiting to attend on him. Boom, that's what it means to be a servant. What do you need? What do you need? That's my favorite restaurants to go to when I have a good server like that. Server, servant. I'll tell you, that's what it means. Servant, when I don't have to ask for a refill. If I have to ask, you're not doing your job. I'm one of them. But I was a server as well, so I know what good service is and what bad service is. You know, if I have to wait for it, you're not doing your job good. That's just how it is. A good server, they see that you need a refill, they come right up and they're pouring it. They don't even interrupt. You just keep going about your conversation. See, that's what is needed for us to be put to a position of prominence. Position of authority. Because we're just willing to be a servant. And even after you get here, you don't ever lose that. Lord willing, I pray, I hope I don't ever lose that. I don't want to. I wouldn't have anybody here do anything that I'm not willing to do. I wouldn't ask anyone here to do something I'm not willing to do. And I hope that never changes. God commands the disciples to adopt the opposite method of what these religious hypocrites were doing. Going back to Matthew. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. He says, do it in secret. Don't go where everyone can see you. Go in secret. You know, especially if you're prone to wanting the applause of men, then you need to take heed to the Lord's advice here. Go in your closet in secret. And when thou shut thy door, because then, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Find a secret place drawn away from the distractions of life. That's what we need to do. So often we don't have a serious prayer time because we got all the distractions around us. We never get away from them. That's why it's good to just get away sometimes. The disciple goes to prayer to be close to his Father and to learn and grow. That's what the disciple does. It's in your private devotions alone that God will teach you and lead you. That's when God will show you things. When you're like, I don't understand this about the Bible, Lord, and you're just in your devotions alone, God will teach you something. He'll show you something that you hadn't seen before. David at Ziklag, he encouraged himself in the Lord. His men were going to kill him, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Elijah heard the still small voice from God, and he knew what God wanted him to do. Paul was taught by God after his salvation for 3 years. Paul alone was taught by God. He was sent out in Acts 13 after communing with God, fasting and praying. There's a direct connection with our effectiveness in public and our private devotions. How God will use us where people can see it, and our walk with Him. A direct connection there. John the Baptist was in the wilderness until his appearing, and God used him mightily. The hypocrites want to skip the private devotion and go right to the praise of men. They don't want to do the hard part. You know, it's like our millennial society. They want everything that their parents took 40 years to get, but they want it now. Well, I went to college. Aren't I going to be the CEO? No. Because you know nothing. You have education, but no actual practical knowledge. You have to learn something. As disciples, we have to fight wanting the praise of man and seek God in solitude. So what are your motives in serving God? Why do you do it? To be seen of men or to glorify Him? Seek to do your service for God in secret and let Him reward you openly. Much of what you do for Him in serving Him won't be done secretly because it's impossible to do everything in secret. I mean, people are going to see things that we do. That's why we have to check our motives for why we serve Him, why we're in church, why we help usher, why we serve in the nursery, why we sing specials. Whatever it may be, we have to check our motives in those things, why we're doing it. Is it to glorify Him and to draw people closer to Him, to point people to Jesus? Or is it for us to get praise of men? Let's pray.